Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Final week of June, and it's going to be a good one. Before you know it, July will be here. How about a week from today? I mean, let's make no mistake about it. No one, nobody, no one loves fireworks like you folks. You kidding me? Duval, the capital of fireworks. I mean, you just get after it. And I'm okay with that. Hell, it was Father's Day in my hood, in your hood as well. But in mine, fireworks were going off during Father's Day. A couple of Sundays ago. By the way, a black bear spotted yesterday. 8 houses away from where I live inside the bubble of Bartram Springs, where actually today we got a little bit of rain. You know, the lawns need it, no doubt about it. But black bears, I mean, they just knock you down. It's really sad, okay? And, you know, listen, I'm not a tree hugger, but it's I used to love the old Phillips Highway, barreling down there, you know, ruling Bayard. And they knocked down all those trees. So you got snakes, and you got gators, and you got black bear, and you got bobcats, and you've got jaguars, and you've got all sorts of different animals, you know, looking for home. Then all of a sudden you cut up where the best bet used to be. You should begin on racetrack. All of that's gone. Okay? And, I mean, it seems like they're putting up an apartment building per day there. And then you keep barreling down racetrack. They're building on both sides there. You can actually see 95 now, which you never could unless you were, you know, over the overpass. Certainly you could see it there, but now you can see it continuously. And so anyway, these animals are scurrying, man. And they're so be careful. You know, if you leave your garage door open, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you had a young girl who was bit right below the kneecap by a black moccasin. Just look out, or a water moccasin, I should say. Obviously, it is black. Yeah, and, you know, I never believed, I'd heard about it, but I never would have believed there was black bears here. The most wildlife I've ever seen in Jacksonville was out at Pablo Creek. And you got wild pigs out there. You got all sorts of different things. But yeah, the black bears, I just assumed it would be too hot. But apparently, that is not the case. All right, it's great to have you with us. We got a busy week. My name is Rick Ballew with you tonight till 8 o'clock. Congratulations in order to the Colorado Avalanche, their first Stanley Cup since 2001. We're seeing right now in Cal Makar, one of the young great defenseman at only the age of 23. It's pretty incredible what this man can do. The comparisons of Bobby Orr, I think we need to hit the brakes just a little bit, and obviously I'm biased there. And Bobby Orr even reached out to him via Twitter yesterday. It was a very exciting night, I thought. It is disappointing for Tampa Bay. There were some debatable calls, non-calls, that really hurt Tampa. And, you know, I don't want to start off the week by getting on officials again, but you can go to the Oklahoma-Mississippi game 2 of the College World Series, and by definition of the rule, it's correct. It's kind of like the Tuck rule with Tom Brady when that particular call was, you know, overturned by, I believe that it was the Oakland Raiders at that particular time, where his old teammate at Michigan, Charles Woodson, had the sack. Any sports fan alive will say, I don't care what the rule says. That's fumble. It's the same thing here for those of you who actually did watch it yesterday. I mean, the base runner of the Oklahoma Sooners is just barely inside, you know, fair play. And the way that the rule actually does stipulate on what was a suicide squeeze, the pitcher picked up the ball, threw it, and the first baseman was unable to get the ball. I mean, that's really a situation where the man who laid down the bunt was so fast, it would have been better if he ran a little bit like Boog Powell, right? If he was not only running like he was carrying a piano, but he actually stopped to play it. If that was the case, that's a run. And so we, you know, here we go. Major event. We had two of them end yesterday. The College World Series, congratulations to Mississippi. They just barely got in. What were they, like fourth or fifth this year in the SEC West? And they went out to win a national championship? What's going on right now in collegiate athletics? And then on top of that, you had some calls that were not made last night in Tampa. Colorado does go on to win their first Stanley Cup since 2001. And, you know, the early favorites are out there. They're a huge favorite to continue with this. They're 4-1 right now in Vegas. Tampa Bay not too far behind. They're 15-2. And then you got, let's see here, three teams at 12-1, about five teams at 14-1. So, yeah, I mean, many believe at this particular time it is going to be Colorado once again. Can they start to get on a little bit of a run? It's very difficult to do within the salary cap era. And that is what made the run by Tampa Bay just so magnificent. It does end last night, but absolutely they have nothing to be ashamed about. So hockey, done. College baseball, done. The NBA, done. All right, where does that leave us? Well, training camp in a month, okay? We all understand that. It's less than a month. Today is, what, the 27th of June. We've got a lot of interest going on in the world of golf, which I'm going to talk about on the other side, you know, more involved with the LIV Tour. This time it's Matt Wolf. All right, reportedly he's going to play in Portland this weekend. Why am I believing that there's going to be far more interest in the event on American soil this week than there was when they played in London earlier in the month? If you just look at the mass movement, all right, and DeChambeau is there, obviously. Patty Reed is there. Brooks Koepka is there. Now, you had a 23-year-old Matt Wolf. I remember this guy in his third ever start. He won. He won on the PGA Tour in his third start. And, you know, you go back to the 2020 season, he had two top fours in majors. He got himself to a situation where he was 12th in the world golf rankings. And then it just fell apart. He is currently right now at 74. So as a 23-year-old, and that's the second 23-year-old, you know, I've begun the show discussing, either Cal Makar for the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, and now Matt Wolf making his way to the LIV Tour. I mean, I'm trying to think of some guys. Anthony Kim comes to mind, kind of, you know, maybe Mark Calcavecchia comes to mind. Who's the other former Gator that used to get down real, real low to line up his putts?
Billy Horschel.
No. I don't believe he's got his card right now. You know, he was fully involved in it going back 5, 6, 7 years ago. Someone will get us here on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. The name, I can picture what he looks like. I can picture him going through his routine, getting down low to the ball. This, for one reason or another, I can't think of his name.
He won a couple of PGA?
Yeah, I think he did.
Tommy Aaron?
No. This is far more recent than that. I'm guessing this man's 30 years of age, tops. But the point I'm trying to make here is, is the game getting away from Matt Wolf? He's only 23. And, you know, you better find a way to protect yourself. It was Camilo Villegas. That's who I'm looking for. The game just totally went away from him, right? About six people have texted me. So, hey, I know we have six listeners because they all got it to me in the last 10 seconds. That's kind of cool. But the game went away from him, right? The game is, is so difficult. There's so many people getting after it right now. Can you imagine being 23? And as far as I know, I mean, really, tennis is the only sport where something like this happens, where, you know, outside of, what, Venus and Serena, for the most part, these women or these men, they're so good, you know, in their middle to late teens, and then by the time they get into their 20s, they're almost past their prime in the world of tennis. And I'm not going to talk to you like I know an awful lot about it. I just do not follow tennis anymore. And yes, I understand Wimbledon is upon us. I don't know why. I'm not a fan of it. You know, I guess I was when it was on ABC Sports growing up, and you'd have Borg and Ash and Connors and McEnroe. That was such a great era. But to me, it's kind of like boxing, where you're just like, you know, where are the stars? Where are the folks who move the needle? And you can tell me Roger Federer, and you can give me all that type of, I don't know why. I'm just not a big fan of it. But anyway, back to Matt Wolf here. And yeah, people, I mean, I'm going to get to the text line here in a minute, and people are going to tell me it's blood money, and they're going to get into all the politics and everything along those lines. And we've had that show. We've discussed that. Players are going to continuously take the big money. And in the case of Matt Wolf, who, if you just look at his young trend, this game is getting away from him. Why not, if you're looking at it financially and financially only, take advantage of the opportunity to actually make yourself some money? The way he's going, this guy could be out of a PGA Tour card in a couple of years. So anyway, we'll get towards that coming up a little bit later on in the program. I have some Jaguar things I want to do tonight. And, you know, I write a lot of things down. It's just the way I've always prepped. And I love this time of year because, you know, it's kind of like the dreaming continues. You can make a kind of a fiction-filled scenario where you're not waking up on this morning after a Jaguar loss, okay? I'll also tell you, you're not waking up this Monday morning after a Jaguar victory. That's the beauty of the offseason. I know if you are anything like me, those losses are so incredibly painful, and it can have an effect on you for the entire week. That's why I've always loved the offseason. But there's so many issues this year, so many different storylines that you can look at with the Jaguars. Many of those are positive. There are some negatives. But I think the thing that we would all agree upon, there are far more questions right now about this football team than there are answers. And you have to expect that when you've won four games the last 2 years and you're implementing a brand new offensive scheme, a brand new defensive scheme. You have a new special teams coordinator. You've got a head coach who took a year off and looks totally reinvigorated, but refreshed, is also apparently a good guy. Okay. And I don't know if that matters in the long scheme of things, but he really feels like a genuine human being and one that you as Jaguar fans, whenever you get the opportunity, those of you who are lucky enough to bump into him at some point, I think you're going to agree that Doug Peterson's a good man. But with all that said, who's the one player, the one Jaguar? And let's leave Trevor out, because that'd be too obvious. You know, more than half of you would say Trevor. So let's leave the quarterback out. But who's the one Jaguar that you're more fired up than any to see play this year? I was thinking about it today, and I honestly came up with like 12 guys that I thought you could point to and say, absolutely. And for me, it all began with Travis Etienne. That was the first guy that came to mind. Then Christian Kirk came to mind. Then I was reading an article on trades that were made last year by Trent Baalke, and I've always been really high on Dan Arnold. And then I started thinking about the right tackle position. Then I started thinking again about the addition of Evan Engram and, you know, wondering what is going to happen with LaVisca Chenault, who had a hamstring issue and worked those extra couple of days during mandatory minicamp, even after Doug Peterson gave the veterans the rest of that week off, all 3 days of that week off. Chenault was there. We found out why. We hear he's faster. He looks good. His attitude appears to be very good. When he met with us during the, I think it was the Tuesday of the final week of practice. So there's a guy, you know, Travion Walker. What about the incredible turnaround last year by Tyson Campbell? What about bringing in, you know, these three new linebackers? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So there's no wrong answer, but I'm just interested in you because I think, and the way I would always compare this, it's kind of like when the betting lines come out. Most bettors automatically look at the blue blood or automatically look at the favorite and see how much they're favored by. I think when you ask a question like this that involves an entire football team, most of you are going to go where? You're going to go offense. You're going to go skill player. You're going to go guys who you believe are going to be able to score touchdowns. That is what is most attractive to you. And I get it. I mean, there's nothing better than a 38-33 type college or NFL game where you're seeing up and down scoring all the time. So I'll be surprised if I get a lot of defensive players that you end up selecting. I just think it's going to be filled with offensive guys. But I don't know. That's why I'm throwing it out to you. So a couple of ways that you can get to us. 641-1010 on the text line. That's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get me on Twitter, which is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. All right, so that's a very serious topic. I have an even more serious topic. Tedeschi Trucks on Friday night was simply awesome, okay? Just phenomenal. They were so tight, considering it was the first show on the new leg of their tour. And the third song of the night, they went way back in the time. They went to Derek and the Dominoes, and they played Bell Bottom Blues. And for those of you who don't know, Derek toured with Clapton years ago. He played slide guitar, of course, you know, way back when his uncle Butch Trucks was in the Allman Brothers with the very late now Dwayne Allman, who died at such a tender age. In his very early 20s, of course, when they were in when they were together in Miami, it was Dwayne who played slide guitar on Layla with Eric Clapton. So that whole relationship between Trucks and Clapton's been around for a while. But they got into it now with Bell Bottom Blues on Friday night. And I've always been a fan of the song. It's never been like, you know, if I was like, let's say we're out and all of a sudden there's a jukebox there. Because after all, who doesn't go to establishments that have a jukebox? And I don't know if I'd pay, you know, play Bell Bottom Blues anymore. Their rendition of it was absolutely spectacular. So it's kind of a 2-for-1 on a Monday. What I want to hear from you as well tonight, what is your favorite all-time cover? Okay, for me, it's probably the one that Trucks and Tedeschi did on stage with Dave Matthews Band, what, two and a half weeks ago, when they played Bob Dylan's All on the Watchtower, which is obviously the cover by Jimi Hendrix is absolutely spectacular as well, and in my opinion is arguably the greatest cover song that has ever been performed. But there you go, we got a twosome for you right here on this Monday. The Jaguars, which player are you most excited to see out in the field this year? And your favorite cover song. Again, two ways to get us, 641-1010 on the text line. That's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. And get me on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Opening comments brought to you by Schmunez Vision. My good buddy, Dr. Neil Schmunez, 37 years of experience. It's a family organization. They focus on personal high-quality medical and surgical eye care. Dr. Catherine Schmunez, fellowship trained in cornea and cataract surgery and all refractive surgery. Combined, that's more than 30 years plus of laser eye surgery experience, including on yours truly, more than 8 years ago. They are a fantastic bunch of people. It is a family organization. They're there for all of your needs. And, you know, falling asleep with contacts in is the absolute worst thing that you can do. Get yourself educated on what's right for you. And who knows, you may be a candidate for laser eye surgery. You can forget about contacts. You can forget about glasses. You can forget about readers. you forget about all of that. So make an appointment today. Give them a call. 299-2906. Go to SchmunezVision.com. Care, you can see. We're loaded. Dylan Denmark is here. My name is Rick Ballew. I am here. We're ready to go. This is the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, I came to the city. I was running from the pain.
Tell you what, they were just incredible. Tight. And I saw a lot of good folks out there. A lot of 1010XL, 92.5 FM listeners this past Friday night at Daly's. And, you know, we replayed the interview. And it wasn't so I could get there early. I actually stuck around with a replayed interview. But a lot of people were happy to hear that as well. They're out on the road. Mobile, Alabama was the second stop. And, again, earlier in the program, they played Bell Bottom Blues. So I'm asking you tonight, your favorite cover of all time, huh? I'm going to go with All on the Watchtower and Jimi Hendrix. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's far and away number one. Also, what Jaguar are you most fired up to watch play this year? Let's leave Trevor Lawrence out of it. That would be too obvious. Want to say hello to the good folks over at Miller Electric. Really, really proud to be involved with them. And I'm going to have some great news later this week or early next week that involves Miller Electric, and it is one of the outstanding companies, long time standing right here in Duval. And if you're at the crossroads right now, if you need a change in career, first off, just go to millercareers.com. But I'll be announcing soon a big event that is going to be fantastic for you, whether you're, you know, getting out of high school, getting out of college, maybe you got to leave college, it's too expensive. I think you'd be really surprised by what is there for you if you want to be an electrician. And there's a couple of things that you can do. Okay, you can get paid while you learn. It's all part of being a part of their apprenticeship. And also, just if you're a current electrician right now, you could be making huge money, particularly with overtime. So check out everything. Just go to millercareers.com. All right, let's get after it. We got a lot to do here. Getting some good stuff that's rolling in right now, and I'm going to start to get to your feedback on the text line. It's really hitting hard here. 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. But there's a couple of other things I want to get to, and certainly the latest here on the big news involved with Miami and Florida and everything with the NIL is not something I'm going to ignore. I'm going to get there momentarily, but I do want to start with the golf here. And I believe this week, more and more people are going to really turn their attention to what is going on here on the LIV Tour. And, you know, and I guess early on, I was pretty ignorant towards it. You know, I just figured they were playing in Saudi Arabia, or they were going to play in London. Then all of a sudden I'm hearing, wait a minute, they're playing on Trump courses, and they're coming into Portland, and they're coming into Chicago, and they're coming into Boston, and they're coming into Miami. What's the fifth place? Is it New Jersey, I want to say?
Yes, that's correct.
So they're coming into huge cities, okay? Boston, New York, New Jersey, Chicago, Miami. And I think a lot of the sting of the Phil Mickelson comments have been erased, certainly not forgotten, but erased. And, you know, for starters, Phil was cheered in Boston at the United States Open, okay? Cheered. And those fans could be ruthless. There's no question about it. Secondly, it feels like, you know, the whole political side of this, which is totally you know, it's totally viable. And it's very unfortunate the things that have come to our attention. It almost feels like the other side of it is I'm so tired of politics. Politics are involved in everything I do each and every day. And, you know, sports to me is, and I'm not talking about myself here, I'm talking about what I'm hearing from a lot of different people. It's sports to me is to get away from politics. So if they want to play in this tour, whatever. Now, that's not everyone. I understand that. There are those who are, and I've been called the live hater. I have. On the text line, I said, I've gotten a lot of, shut up, Blue, we know you hate the live tour, whatever. So I don't know what's going on here. I'm trying to, you know, spell it out the way that it is in my particular opinion. Okay, I'm trying to look at this from a non-political point of view. Now, some of you may say, stop right there. That's impossible. I just gave you the reason why. If you look at it financially speaking, it makes total sense for Matt Wolf to go at the age of 23. He's gone from 12 to 74 and keeps slipping. You might as well take the money if that's what's the most important thing to you. Money isn't always the most important thing to people. Now, believe it or not, but look at this, and it's staggering to me. If you look at the history of the PGA Tour, okay, Tiger Woods has made the most money ever. He's got 82 PGA Tour wins. He's got his, what, 15 majors. He's made $120.9 million on the PGA Tour. They just gave Phil Mickelson $200 million. Guaranteed. By the way, Phil Mickelson, second all-time as far as earnings on the PGA Tour. $95 million. He just doubled that to go play on the LIV Tour. DJ reportedly $120 million. I haven't officially seen the money for Koepka or the money for Bryson DeChambeau. But compare that to this year. Scottie Scheffler right now has set a record in a calendar season on the PGA Tour for making over $13 million, okay? And compare that to the amount of money that golfers are making to go to the LIV Tour. So he's made 13. No one next to Scheffler has made as much as $7 million a year. And that's Cam Smith, Rory McIlroy, and Sam Burns. You got four guys who've made $6 million a year. JT, Fitzy with his win last week at the U.S. Open, Hideki Matsuyama, and Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris, by the way, has, if you look at the aggregate score, the best overall scoring in the first three majors so far this year. And he's only made $6 million. I mean, he's had, what, top three finishes so far this year, I believe? Patrick Cantlay, Homa, Billy Horschel, $5 million. Nine golfers have made $4 million. 15 golfers have made $3 million. 33 golfers have made $2 million. All right, that's huge money. That's great money. But if you compare that to the NHL that we watched wrap up last night, the NBA that we watched wrap up last week, the NFL, which is going to be here before you know it, Major League Baseball, which is going on, and I get the other side of it, the amount of money they make in endorsements, whether it's for the clubs they swing, the clothes they wear, the emblem that is on their hat or on their heart, on their jersey. I understand that that's a totally different side of all this, and it is incredibly lucrative. But if you're looking at straight-out guaranteed money, the PGA Tour has not been able to pay. And even though they upped things, I mean, what, this past year's Players' Championship was $20 million. That was the highest purse ever. And we just saw what they did, and we heard from the commissioner, Jay Monahan. I mean, obviously, they did not understand the power of the LIV Tour. And when they were told that it was coming, they didn't think that Patrick Reed and DeChambeau and Koepka and Dustin Johnson and players like that would get up and leave. the early report that I received and what I think most people assumed was that it was going to almost be like a pre-champions tour. It was going to be 40-somethings like Sergio and Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. That those were the guys that were going to swing it. And, you know, Phil would be there, and what, Lee Westwood is now north of 50. He would be there. And honestly, I mean, nothing against older folks, because I'm one of those. But who wants to watch those people play golf? I mean, not really. It's just, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just being honest, okay? I mean, I wouldn't expect people to, I mean, we don't watch it in any other sport, right? I mean, any other sport, your time is up. You retire. Okay, Gronk just retired. Brandon Linder just retired. Your time is done. Whether it's, it doesn't matter. But golf is that one sport that, yeah, there's a whole new deal. And you can play for as long as you're still able to swing the clubs. I think the interest drops. And that's the way I felt about this. I mean, I really don't care about watching Sergio Garcia and Charles Schwartzel playing. If the money is guaranteed, there's no cut line, it's just not as attractive to me as watching a regular event on the PGA Tour. But I think they absolutely were misled. And they did not think that this was going to be the type of factor that it has become. And apparently they're just printing money over there. And what if they really do try to grow this game? And what if they continuously poach players from the PGA Tour? I think that's only going to continue. The other side of all this is, and I'm going to get to the NIL situation here with Jaden Rashada coming up here in just a couple of moments. But can you imagine if that is what is next for the LIV Tour? Okay? What if they start going to college? What if they start going to guys who aren't on the PGA Tour, are close? And instead of the game growing here in the United States and the competitiveness continuing here in the United States, kids are going to take the opportunity to make much more money. What if there is a similar Korn Ferry type of event that now is being put together by the LIV Tour? That is frightening. That is terrifying to me. Now, I think a lot of you will say, hey, man, there's enough golfers out there. We'll be okay. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But that, to me, would be the major concern that I would have, is getting after the youth, getting after the teens, getting after the young 20-somethings like this Matthew Wolf, 23, who had immediate success. Again, going back to the 2020 season, what if that is where they go? Because if you really want to make something that much bigger than it already is, I believe that that is where you're going to make your bones. And, you know, we'll see. I remember, what was his name? It was Tamarik Vanover was the player. I can't think of the, he was Ron Meyer, the guy who sent out the guy in parole to plow the snow when John Smith, the Patriots, beat the Dolphins. I mean, it's like one of the greatest NFL follies of all time. I mean, this snow going on. Patriots call a timeout. They're getting ready to try to kick a game-winning field goal, and Ron Meyer ordered as a guy who's out on parole. He goes out there with his John Deere tractor and plows open a big spot where they can lay down the field goal, and they ended up making it. But anyway, Ron Meyer went off. I think it was Las Vegas. I want to say it was the Las Vegas Posse. And Tamarik Vanover got fat, and Tamarik Vanover didn't do well in school, and he flunked out. And that was when the 3 years of college, there was never any speculation. And I know that that rule still applies today, thankfully. But he said, forget about it. I'm not going back into college. I'm going to go play in whatever it was, the USFL or whatever the hell the league was at that particular time. I don't even remember the name of the brand. It might have been the Canadian Football League, which actually had a team in Las Vegas. And Tamarik Vanover, and they gave him like $100,000 or something like that. And for, you know, a kid in college, that was a tremendous. He said, forget about it. I'm out of here. And I remember being like, wow, man, this is really bad. What if other players start doing this and start leaving college and getting the quick fix in the Canadian Football League or getting a quick fix in an XFL, whatever it was that came after? And it went away. And they've all gone away. Okay, the World Hockey League went away. The ABA went away. There was concern about the Japanese Baseball League really being a competitor at some point with Major League Baseball. That is absolutely gone away. So those who have gone after major associations or leagues, they've all folded. They've all failed. It doesn't feel like this is going to be the case with the LIV Tour, because they're just printing money and money and money. And anyway, this is another big blow. Even a guy with a name like Matthew Wolf, who's not what he once was and he's only 23, I just think you're going to get a lot of interest in the event coming up this weekend. I do. Much more than we saw a few weeks ago in London. I know it's not going to be on TV. Where do you got to go to get it, you know?
As far as I know, still YouTube, like it was the first one in London. So it might change. I mean, I still haven't heard anything about a TV deal, and it starts the 30th, which is Thursday.
I believe they need a TV deal in order to survive. That would be just the basics, right? I mean, just the basic way of looking at it. How are you going to be able to afford this? Ticket sales were way down. Are they going to be up this weekend in Portland? And, you know, ticket sales are, I don't care what they bring and how many people come in. You're not going to be able to afford to pay these salaries based on ticket sales and ticket sales only. They're going to need a huge contract from a major television network. And I don't know if that's going to happen. So that's something that we're going to have to watch. But, you know, others will say it doesn't even matter either because, I mean, they're literally printing money, blood money. And if you don't make it back in other ways, they're still going to be okay. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, to me, it feels like sooner or later you'd run out of it. But there's a lot to consider right now here with everything that's going on with both these tours. Of course, the PGA Tour East Coast this past weekend. Now the LIV Tour this week will be out on the West Coast. They'll be playing in Portland, Oregon. All right, when I come back, let's get to your text. Getting a lot of these rolling in. I've asked you two questions so far tonight. Favorite cover song of all time? Mine is All on the Watchtower. After Tedeschi Trucks played Bell Bottom Blues this past Friday night. And what Jaguar are you most fired up to watch play this year? Two ways to get us, 641-1010 on the text line. You can also get me on Twitter. That's Baloo1010XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, let's get to the text line, man. It's been burning up. 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. 9247 says, Baloo, Painted Black by the Rolling Stones, signed by Deep Purple. Also, Eric Burdon and Jimi Hendrix. I've heard any one of those. Eric Burdon, of course, of the Animals. Didn't even come to mind. 0976, favorite cover, the Bette Midler cover of Beast of Burden, which was a great Stones tune. Great video she did back during the MTV days. I do not remember that. 0999, Baloo, ETN is the player I'm looking forward to seeing the most. I would agree. He would be number one on my list. Skinner's cover of J.J. Keel's Call Me the Breeze. Leonard Skinner, outstanding on both fronts. Who are you looking forward to seeing play most this year?
Definitely ETN.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Here's one, the 3022 says, Baloo, I'm actually excited to see Devin Lloyd. the most.
Not bad.
No. Love it. Love a little bit of defense here in Duval. No shortage of guys that you could actually select here. 61-55, Blue. No one stole a song that's a cover more than Respect by Aretha Franklin. The great Otis Redding song. Okay. I don't want to get into that stuff right now. I don't think so. All right. That's a little bit of a deep cut for me. Blue, James Robinson, I want to see what he can do when he is allowed to play an entire game. James Robinson, for me, is right there next to Travis Etienne. I mean, I think that's the biggest storyline of camp. I'm not asking you about that tonight. I'm asking you instead what you believe is the, you know, who you think is going to be the, you know, you're fired up to watch more than anyone else. And to me, it's Travis Etienne. It's kind of not lost in it because we discuss each and every day here on the stations, but he's basically like a third first-round draft pick this year. I mean, it's like Trayvon Walker, Devin Lloyd, and Travis Etienne. It's like you have three first-round picks that we have never seen play one snap of professional football, and that's incredibly encouraging.
You think people forgot how good he was at Clemson?
I think, here's what I think happened. It was such a sketchy pick in so many circles. It was such an Urban Meyer pick in so many circles. And then the lack of knowledge, okay, the surgery that Trevor Lawrence had on his non-throwing shoulder, and you had Jaguars rookie minicamp. And what was stated there was that, okay, well, Travis Etienne is working out at wide receiver. So, you know, the Jaguars used a first-round pick to a guy who's been a running back. They're going to make him a slot wide receiver. What are they doing? Where a lot of those articles, they did not even know that in camp, they didn't want anyone within 10 yards of Trevor Lawrence. I'm not talking about training camp here. I'm talking about rookie minicamp. They didn't want anyone bumping into his shoulder. He wasn't taking snaps, and they didn't. So there was no use to have a running back because they weren't going to hand the ball off for the third time. They didn't want anyone near him. So the only thing you could do at all with Travis Etienne was put him out at wide receiver, and then he got injured. So it almost became a 1-2-3, too risky of a pick. It's a reach. You're working him at wide receiver, and now he gets hurt. So it was like three automatic strikes, and that's where the opinion really came in to the naysayers out there. This guy could end up being absolutely fantastic. I mean, just the comfort feeling alone, in my opinion, with him being back in the lineup, I mean, there's a guy right there that Trevor Lawrence knows all about. He knows where he is going to be. If you look at his numbers at Clemson, especially his pass-catching numbers, they increased year after year after year. And, yeah, no doubt, he is, without any question, the guy that I would look at. Blue, 77-70, blinded by the lights. Great point. You know, Bruce struggled early, Springsteen, his first couple of albums, and he allowed Man for Man to cut it, got paid. Man for Man cut a couple of them. He also cut Spirit in the Night. And it's a funny story. As successful as Bruce Springsteen is, reportedly he just sold the rights to his catalog for like $400, $500 million or something like that. You realize that Bruce has never had a number one hit?
Really?
Dancing in the Dark made it to two. The one that he sold to Man for Man, Blinded by the Light, made it to number one. Pretty interesting because, I mean, there's no comparing the musical careers of Man for Man and Bruce Springsteen. You can't do it.
What about Born in the USA?
Born in the USA, the album produced, the song never made it to number one either. Nope. Never in the United States of America, Bruce single That album, I think, had like 8 singles that went like top 10 in like 1984, maybe into 1985, but never number one.
And the highest it got was like 9th.
For what? Born in the USA?
Yeah. Yeah. On the charts. Yeah. 8th or 9th.
That's a great one, though. Baloo, 69-53, got to go with Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd. We are going to get this franchise on a long-term, stable foundation. Got to hit with your first rounders. Absolutely. Yeah. Just mention those two with Travis Etienne. That's one of the biggest blemishes of the former regime. First-round picks that just have not produced or have been jettisoned. One of those could end up being a Hall of Famer in Jalen Ramsey. And Travis Etienne is always going to be measured, you know, in that particular trade. Kalyvon Chase on, Travis Etienne, and who am I thinking of? The guy who just got injured last week coming off the edge. I can't even think of his name. Jordan Smith, whose season is already over, already been placed on the IR. Those are the three. I mean, Jordan Smith took a couple of snaps last year. He's gone for the season. Travis Etienne, the expectations are completely, you know, the expectations are enormous for him. Kalyvon Chase, will a change of this defensive scheme affect him, or is he what he is, and he's going to remain that way? Heading into his third year, only time will tell. All right, let's get to that again in our second hour. I also want to get to the situation here with Jaden Rashada, man. It is, I wish I could figure out or anyone could explain to me what is really going on in the world of collectives with the NIL. But this story today I know has torched Gator fans, and it also, you know, just kind of makes you wonder once again that if there ever is any authority here and if there ever is a major investigation, it all seems to point once again at the U as one of the teams who will be looked at first. So we'll dive into that coming up in our second hour. It's great to have you with us. My name is Rick Ballew. This is the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche.
Bruce Springsteen cover by Manfred Mann. Pretty good tune, not going to lie to you. Guitar solo towards the end is real good as well. Asking for your favorite cover of all time. Out of respect for Tedeschi Trucks, Friday night they played Bell Bottom Blues. Among others, they were just they were outstanding. And you know, we got another big concert rolling in the town this weekend.
You going?
Oh, hell yeah, I'm going. You try and tell me Motley Crue's coming into town and I'm not going to be there? Poison. You know what Poison does?
It's either a good or a bad thing.
They bring, well,
The band.
It's
the
a
band
good thing.
A good thing.
They bring chicks to the event. Motley Crue. Chicks to the event.
I was actually talking to a friend today. She won tickets. Well, it's like some Instagram page, and they're giving away like a pair or a 4-pack. And so she'll be there Friday night. Or is it Friday or Saturday?
It's an all-day. I don't know. I think it's like Saturday. Yeah. I didn't know anything about Friday.
Yeah.
Def Leppard. So, and there's a few others. I believe it's Joan Jett, right? Not Pat Benatar. I think it's Joan Jett that's going to be here. So, and that'll be at the stadium downtown. Going to be a lot of fun. So asking you for your favorite cover and also you're most excited to see this year play for the Jaguars. I'm getting a lot on Trevor Lawrence, and I've said a few times now, I guess I'm going to have to say it every time. I'm excluding Lawrence for the obvious reason. He would be nearly unanimous. But right now I got 6 ETNs. I got 2 Devin Lloyds. I got a Trayvon Walker. I got 3 James Robinson. So those are the 4 players that are registering the most right now
What about Snoop Connor? You think he'll see the he'll see the field enough?
You know what? I wouldn't want to bet on it. But in some circles, you can make the case that Snoop Connor could end up with the most carries on this team this year. You got a guy battling a Lisfranc surgery and an Achilles tendon tear in surgery. And obviously, more than anything, I want these two guys to come back, be healthy, and they're a much better football team. But you just don't know. So, yeah, the whole Snoop, and Snoop Connor to me was a guy who really impressed, you know, during the opportunities that we had to watch him. I thought he was a guy that was going to be a, you know, a short down ball carrier, a goal line guy. But he's more than that. He looks like he's got some wiggle. His hands were very impressive. And if you just look at the wear and tear and the lack of it, I mean, the amount of carries he had at Mississippi. All of a sudden, that's a very good thing because, you know, Travis Etienne, look at all the touches he had at Clemson. Look at all the footballs James Robinson had at Southern Illinois. Was it Southern or Northern? It was Northern Illinois. Look at all the carries. And now compare that to a guy like Snoop Connor. So, yeah, I mean, putting him in there would be absolutely fine with me. 11-10 says, Blue Snoop will sniff out that end zone. I hope so. Joe Cocker, the letter. That's funny. My GF and I yesterday, and she came in through the bathroom window. I mean, Joe, did Joe Cocker ever write anything? That's all Joe Cocker did was covers, for crying out loud. The letter by Joe Cocker. Favorite cover is a tie for me. No Quarter, Marilyn Manson. Is that Led Zeppelin's No Quarter? I got to give, maybe I'll listen to that tonight. Little Marilyn Manson No Quarter? It's sort of like one of my, maybe my favorite Led Zeppelin song of all time. And Put a Spell on You. That would be, obviously, Creedence. I believe the guy I'm looking forward to watching the most is Trayvon Walker. All right, let me put that down. It's number two for Trayvon. Let's hope it's not another Chase on Byron. Yeah. All right, hey, before I do this, I got to get about a congratulations. The Sedins are in. Henrik and Daniel from Switzerland. Actually, Sweden. The phenomenal duo. And you talk about knowing where someone is. I just mentioned the relationship that Trevor Lawrence has with Travis Etienne. I mean, when these two played in Vancouver, the brothers that they were and still are, they literally had eyes in the back of their head. They are the newest members of the 2022 Hall of Fame hockey class, another Sweden, Daniel Alfredsson. Man, 1,157 points. He could put the puck in the net. No doubt about that. And a netminder, Roberto Luongo, is going in. See, end of his career got a little crazy, didn't it? No, it was Florida, Vancouver, Florida. All right, I apologize for that. 489 wins. Pretty impressive. Save percentage of 919. 77 shutouts. So four more into the Hall of Fame today. Unfortunately, no one from America. You have three from Sweden. And I want to say that Roberto Luongo was originally from Montreal. All right, let's more on this coming up in just a little bit. You know, we were talking about this off air. This is crazy, this whole NIL deal is so damn good. Between the NIL and the LIV Tour, it's like, man, I mean, just trying to figure all this stuff out. It's all new. And there's a lot of, let's face it, there's a lot of ignorance involved here. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. The NIL is very confusing because it, you know, if it affects things differently in different states. And you know, I still don't know everything that is allowed to happen and what is not allowed to happen. And, you know, it appears that this thing is absolutely spiraling out of control. But anyway, it looked like Florida was going to get this kid, or they felt really good about him. The highly decorated quarterback out of California, his name is Jaden Rashada. And he elected to go to Miami, where there are reports that he's going to make $9.5 million. That's more money than Trevor Lawrence. That's more money than Mac Jones. That's more money than Zach Wilson. That's more money than Kenny Pickett, who was selected this year in the first round. I mean, think about it that way. You got 18-year-olds going to college. I don't know if this is true, the $9.5 million. Again, there's so much about this we don't know. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. But you got a guy making more money than rookies and second-year quarterbacks in the National Football League. And you know this better than I do, Dylan, because you're a Gator grad. But apparently stuff happened, and it went back and forth, and what have you. Then all of a sudden, the lawyer out in California had this to say about the University of Florida. And let's see, this lawyer's name is something Caspino. I don't see his front name here. I got a pop-up.
I think it's Michael.
Why the hell do these pop-ups come up? Ask me.
They're so annoying.
Ask me
any
if I
article.
Is 40% off buying a D squared 2 shirt? I don't need a freaking D squared 2 shirt. I need this story on my cell phone. Why does this thing continuously pop up? It's just amazing. You made your point. Don't advertise with pop-ups, people. If you want to advertise, give me a call. Advertise right here on
there
the home of the Jags. It works in radio, not these pop-ups. I'm ready to throw my cell phone against the wall. Here's the lawyer, quote, Florida's the most dysfunctional collective in all of college football. Okay? Right out of the gate. Can you imagine being in a coma for the last 5 years and you're trying to figure out what's going on in college football? And the first sentence here is, Florida is the most dysfunctional collective in all of college football. Let's see here. I plan on steering my clients away from them. From my standpoint, I never, ever want to deal with them again. If it weren't for the collective that's completely dysfunctional at Florida, Rashada probably would have been there. A Gator collective, or the Gator collective, did respond, and I quote, let's see, the Florida NIL collective that launched earlier this spring and claimed more than $5 million in seed money at its onset. The recent comments by California lawyer Michael Caspino have been brought to our attention. Gator Collective said in a statement, Gator Collective has never had any communication with Mr. Caspino about Jaden Rashada or any recruits. So, all right, here we are. It's another day. And it's another situation where we have grown men lying. Someone's lying here. The 18-year-old quarterback, Rashada, was quoted as saying what? The Florida offer was actually better than the Miami offer.
Yeah, his reports were $11 million from Florida. And then Miami gave him $9.5 million. And then Rashada, within the last hour, Rick, I didn't tell you this off the air, he put together a paragraph, and he said, all reports of my decision involving a NIL deal are inaccurate. So we now have three people that don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well,
what's the truth?
We don't know. I mean, what's the truth at Jackson State on signing day? When Deion got the number one ranked prospect in America, it fooled everyone. And, you know, we were told that he was getting $1 million. And he denies it. Deion Sanders denies it. Every Florida State fan alive believes that that's the reason why he went. Now we've got the player saying one thing, the agent saying he'll never steer a player to the University of Florida, and the spokesman from their Gator collective is saying they never had any contact. So someone's lying.
Yes. The, I just want to know what he means by what is dysfunctional in the elective. It would have to be communication, wouldn't it be? I mean, if the poor purpose of the collective is to give money to incoming high school recruits, wouldn't it be, and I'm just, I have no idea what the Gator Collective is like other than what I read on articles. I mean, wouldn't it be, okay, well, this person says they're in charge. No, this person says they're in charge. And one person at the collective says they're gonna we're going to give you $8 million. One person says 10. Like, that is how I would envision dysfunction.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'll show you a dysfunctional situation. But I have no idea what's going on here within the NIL. And, I mean, this is uncharted territory. We're learning on the fly here. And I'm not opposed to them getting paid. I also, for the first time ever, look at the NIL in collegiate athletics, and for the first time, this goes against the total competitive spirit of being a team player, because you are now literally playing for yourself in the name on the back of your jersey as opposed to the school on the front of your jersey. What do coaches preach from T-ball and Pop Warner? It's team, it's team, it's team. All right, you get to the professional leagues, the best players are going to make their money. And you always hear it's a business and it's understandable. But how is it going to work if you're paying a kid this amount of money? You're going to put him on South Beach at 18 years of age. And what if you're a Miami player and you're a third-year starter who's at defensive tackle? You know what it's like at that age. I mean, you bring in these superstars, man. It is going to divide a locker room from day one. And I'm not blaming the kid. I'm not blaming any of these kids for accepting the money. But it's going to provide massive amounts of diversion and jealousy. And you're going to see guys who have played a lot of football games who it's kind of going to be kind of looked at this way. Well, he's here. He's not going to go anywhere else. He's got a girlfriend here. He's got a family here. He may be from close by. He's always been a fan of this school. We don't have to give him a lot as far as collectives because he's happy. Well, others aren't going to be in the same boat. They're going to say, screw that. You're not going to pay me. I'm going to transfer. So they're going to go from one school to another just because those who are in and are incumbents, if you will, they're not going to be able to get paid the way that some new young star is going to be able to get paid. All right, when we come back, I was going to say deep dive, but that's no longer allowed to be a part of my vocabulary. This doesn't involve Jaden Rashada directly. It does involve Arch Manning directly, okay? Of course, last week as well, he gave his pledge to Texas. We know he's going to get paid a tremendous amount of money. I found something over the weekend on USA Today going over the last 20 highest-ranked quarterbacks by year, starting with Vince Young. I think you're going to be blown away when you look at this list. We'll investigate that coming up in just a moment. Also, we will ask you to continue with the Jaguar that you're fired up to see most this year, 641-1010, along with your favorite all-time cover song. A couple of things that you can do with us tonight right there on the text line. That is 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get us on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the Talking Heads went to Al Green's library, right? Take me to the river. Many have tried it. I think Tom Jones, among others. Greatest cover of all time. Spinning a few of those right here on this Monday. All right, want to get to this. I think you'll like it. Hey, I mean, do we really want to watch Adrian Peterson fight Le'Veon Bell?
What is this?
Well, they're talking about it. I guess an offer has been made. Bell is turning to fighting. And, you know, just talk that Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson will fight at some point in July. I don't know. If I'm going to watch a fight, I'd like to see a fight with boxers or those involved in mixed martial arts. I don't need to see former football players fight. Nor would I want to. So that's pretty bizarre. Another great story popped up today from Kendrick Perkins, who played with the Celtics. He was on that one NBA championship team, I think in what, 2008, 2009. Of course, they blew an 11-point fourth quarter lead against LA. Should have won more. But he was talking about it on a podcast with J.J. Redick and said that Ray Allen wanted Rajon Rondo out. There were rumors that Allen wanted Rondo to get moved in a trade that would have produced Chris Paul. And according to Kendrick Perkins, the bitterness was so bad between these two that right there at the Celtics practice facility, they brought out boxing gloves and made these two fight, Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo. Now, I don't know how fiction-filled this story is. I don't know if there's any validity to it. That Boston media has always been considered one of the very best around, and it never leaked, which, especially if you have a trade rumor thing that is leaked, that Ray Allen wanted him out, I'm shocked that we never heard that these two actually came to blows with boxing gloves.
Yeah, what kind of fight do you think it was? Like a one round, just throwing haymakers for a solid 90 seconds, and then...
I mean, where do you put him? You can't put him in the... If you put him in the gym, you know, there's no ropes.
Yeah.
You keep... So, I don't know. You don't want these guys to get hurt. You can't let them go down to the ground. I was just surprised to read that a little bit earlier today. All right, let's move along to this, because, you know, everyone now, whether it's Jaden Rashada going to Miami and the... Of course, the article came out late last week based on what is going on with, Arch Manning on his way to Texas. If you look at the top 20 rated quarterbacks beginning in 2002 at Texas, it's more risk than reward. Let's look at it. Vince Young absolutely worked. That's an A+. Texas won a national title. Okay, Texas hasn't been relevant many years prior to that, as well as to after that. Yeah, well, they did get to a natty, what, with Colt McCoy, if memory serves me correct, but they haven't won one since. Right after that, 2003, Kyle Wright at Miami. Mm-mm. No. That's a failure. Rhett Bomar at Oklahoma. Okay. He had a decent career. Did he live up to... The amount of money, who knows about that, because it was illegal at that point. But did he live up to the hype? I would say no. I would say that would be, a D-minus. He ended up transferring to Sam Houston State. So I'm going to say absolutely no. Mark Sanchez, outside of Matt Leinart, I got to give this guy solid grades here. No question about it. He wasn't a full-time starter until his fourth year, but Mark Sanchez did some good things with Southern Cal. I'm going to give him probably a B. Matthew Stafford, Georgia, absolutely. That worked. That's an A. Jimmy Clausen at Notre Dame. Now, I think when I mention these names, unfortunately, we find ourselves diving away from college football and thinking about what they ended up doing in the National Football League. And Jimmy Clausen did not play well for the Carolina Panthers. But, he had a nice career. He was a three-year starter for Notre Dame. The team did not play all that well, but Clausen was okay. I'm going to give him a B. Terrell Pryor. Okay, switch positions. Tried to make the team here a few years ago. Started as a freshman at Ohio State. That took him to a Big Ten title as a sophomore. Then the NCAA rules and the violations came in and kind of hampered his career a little bit. I'm going to say a C, C plus for Terrell Pryor, and did not live up to the expectations that were assumed by Ohio State fans. Matt Barkley, Southern Cal. Yeah, he came in after Sanchez. Played a couple of years. He was a Heisman favorite. USC was a preseason number one ranked team. Never really worked out for him. I'm going to say, a C, maybe a D for Matt Barkley. Phillip Sims, Alabama 2010. Remember, he was supposed to be the star. They had A.J. McCarron. Just never worked out. Never at all. He ended up going to what? Virginia, and then he ended up going to Winston-Salem State. So that's an F. Jeff Driscoll, I can move right along. I mean,
what could have been?
He had one great year. That was what, 2012, 11 wins, Sugar Bowl, injured, then transferred to La Tech.
I believe he's still in the league.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
I think he's playing some. Isn't he playing some tight end? I remember having
that was Felipe Franks in Atlanta. Driscoll might be.
I remember talking to Seth Payne about this, who does radio out in Houston, and he, I believe, was cracking on Driscoll.
Yep, you're right.
He's a tight end now, right?
Yep. This was reported like the end of last
year. I'll let you grade Driscoll since you're the Gator. Give me a grade.
At Florida, he was a C.
Yeah.
At best.
I'll give the next grade. Jameis Winston, 2012, Florida State. A++++. Max Brown, Southern Cal. Wow. Another quarterback going to Southern Cal. Injured. Never really did much of anything. Ended up going to Pittsburgh. That's a failure for the highest ranked. The reason why I'm doing this, if you're hopping on for the first time with all the talk going on now with Arch Manning and now Jaden Rashada, I'm looking at the last 20 highest-ranked quarterbacks by class. And how many of these can you actually say really made it? Kyle Allen, Texas A&M. No. Kyler Murray replaced him. That's a failure. Josh Rosen at UCLA. All right. He was good in college. I'm going to give him a B. Maybe a C. He dealt with some injuries. And of course, here's another example. You can't look at Josh Rosen in his collegiate career without thinking about his failures as an NFL player. And that's why this is a tough exercise. We're trying to keep it with just coming out of high school and going to college.
Never forget the legendary kiddie pool picture he had when he was in college.
The legendary what?
He was... I think there was a lot of reports or people were messing with him on Twitter about him making a lot of money, and he got a little kiddie pool and put it in his little apartment or the dorm or whatever it was he was living in, and he filled up with water and like posted a picture with somebody else going into his senior year.
Okay. I'm going to give him a C. Shea Patterson, whether it was Michigan or Mississippi, no.
Remember he was like Johnny Unitas when he went to Michigan?
I absolutely remember that. Yeah. I mean, they really thought that this guy was going to be a difference maker. He went undrafted. He's been in the Canadian Football League, the USFL. I'm going against what I'm saying here. I should be looking at college. And, he got in trouble with Hugh Freeze at Mississippi, got that change and the new opportunity at Michigan. I'm going to say C at best. Davis Mills, Stanford. COVID hurt him later in his career. He only ended up winning two games. My God. I'm going to say a D. Trevor Lawrence, Clemson. That's an A. A++++. Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma. Sat behind Jalen Hurts. He was really the favorite this past year to win a Heisman. As a Heisman Trophy voter, I got a lot of, things that were brought to my attention. He ended up getting replaced by Caleb Williams. I'm going to say Spencer Rattler, a D. Bryce Young, Alabama. So far, you got to give him the A, right? He's got so much left. And, yeah, they did lose a national championship this past year to Georgia, but he is still off to a absolutely phenomenal career. And then, Quinn Ewers, who was at Ohio State a year ago and is now transferred to Texas, we still need to figure things out. So if you look at every single recruiting class over the last 20 years, in my opinion, you've got four or five A's. Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Jameis Winston. Let's see here. Matt Stafford in an A. Yeah, I'll give it to you. He was the top overall pick. And they didn't win a national title, obviously. But I'm going to give him an A. Let's see, who else on this? And Vince Young. So that's five out of the 20 that ended up being spectacular at their school. And there's only a couple on here who've won national titles, right? Vince Young, Jameis Winston. That's it, I believe. Mark Sanchez.
Trevor Lawrence.
Was a backup. Absolutely Trevor Lawrence. But that's it, you know? Bryce Young. There you go. So five out of the 20. And four out of the 20 won national titles. So whether it is Jaden Rashada going to Miami or it is Arch Manning going to Texas, history tells us that the percentages, this is not going to work out the way that it is expected to. It's interesting because we do this with first-round picks all the time and top picks in the NFL draft all the time. It's not too often that we go back and look at the highest-ranked guys in college, you know, coming from high school, and how many of those players ended up being as successful as we thought they were. I was talking about it last week. You can look at all the quarterbacks who went to Florida State, including Jameis Winston and Amal. I don't know if anyone was ranked higher than Dan Kendra. And it didn't work for him. And I'm sure Florida, you could tell me some. I know we mentioned Bobby Sabolehouse last week. But it doesn't mean it's going to end up working that particular way. All right, we got much more to do, including more from you on your favorite cover song of all time. Also, what Jaguar fires you up the most for the 2022 season. Getting a lot of good ones coming in on that. If you want to hit us up, best way to do so, text line 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah, those Boston boys, Aerosmith, they took it from the Beatles. Some like Come Together better than the original four. 66-46, Blue, Christian Kirk is who I'm looking forward to fired up to see the most this year. My local cover is Simple Man by Shinedown. Hacker Nation's coming up at 8. I believe I was at his wedding, where that is the song he danced with his mom. Was it the mom or was it?
His mom.
Was it the wedding? So it was the mom. I was pretty inebriated at that wedding. Simple Man. There you go. Now, did Skinner write Simple Man? I know they covered a lot. I think they did. I may be dead wrong with that. You just never know. Let's see here. Blue, Josh Allen. This is from the 2601. Roll out in beast mode this year. That's my buddy Ralph over at the Florida Theater. I see him at Jag games. In Jag practices quite a bit. 8043. All right, much more here in the NIL, but not what the collective is supposed to be. They aren't allowed to communicate with recruits, only players on campus. This doesn't come from my shortage of reading material on the NIL. It's just bizarre to me right now. I honestly do not understand what is going on, and I hate it. Say what you want about the NCAA and the way it used to be, but you knew what was legal and you knew what wasn't illegal. It's only a matter of time until we get some sort of clarity on this and figure out what it all actually means. Getting a ton on this from Gator fans. This is a disturbing story. Someone lied here. Here's another one. Christian Kirk. Okay. Starting to roll in on him. Disturbed Sound of Music. Yeah, I think I've heard that. Is that the old... it's not a silence, right? Who am I thinking here of? Simon and Garfunkel. Pearl Jam, Bob O'Reilly. All right, not bad. Dave Matthews Band, Sledgehammer. Is better than Peter Gabriel? Really? I don't think I've ever heard that. But we love Voodoo Child, the Stevie Ray Vaughan version. All right, better than Hendrix? Interesting opinions rolling in. Another one here for James Robinson. Another one here for Trayvon Walker. Another one here for Travis Etienne. It's pretty close right now. I'm not getting as many ETNs as I thought. I figured that would be basically a runaway. And it's not at this particular time. So that is a little bit of a surprise to me. Hey, coming up tomorrow night, because we're running out of time here, I got a couple of things I want to dive into on Tuesday. One of those is, here we are talking about everything that's changing. The LIV Tour, the NIL, getting information, lies that are involved, and just the way that everything is changing in sports. The Skip Bayless thing that rolled out today on Russell Westbrook.
What did he say?
Is so ridiculously pathetic. I mean, it really is. At one point in media coverage, at what point did we get to where a member of the media can directly challenge a player that they cover? Okay? I mean, that is not supposed to happen. Here's the tweet by Skip Bayless. Hey, Russell Westbrook. And then he puts his Twitter handle there. Happy to talk face-to-face about the nickname I believe I originated in 2012. Join me on TV or a podcast. Let's talk about how you'll make $47 million next year after being the worst three-point shooter in the NBA. Most overpaid player ever. Please join me. So, obviously, he's using this as a tool to aggravate Russell Westbrook. And, you know, for his ratings, it's if he does respond and comes on and either does a phoner or does a Zoom or comes to the studio and sits in with him, it's going to be a huge get for Skip Bayless because, obviously, this would become worth watching. I mean, you could think of, you know, the Jim Rome Chrissy Everett. And so things like this haven't happened for a very long time. But the Rome thing, and you know, I haven't listened to Rome in forever. But apparently he had issues with him on the radio and then brought him in for that TV show. But it was never a, hey, come join me. You know, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. There was never any of that. But at what point do we draw the line here that you're still supposed to be covering the players and the coaches and the teams? It's not about you as a member of the media, okay? You know, we want to have fun. Tonight's show, almost all of it has gotten the listeners involved. And certainly there have been some people that at times I've gotten into it with, maybe some other media members or whatever, but it's never been a direct dare to a player. I just think it's wrong in every sense of the world, or every sense of the word. Or is this the way it's going to start to be? We saw some writers really challenge some of these golfers. They didn't go after Phil nearly as hard as they did. I thought that you go back to the LIV Tour, some of the guys that were challenged there by, honestly, reporters from other countries, Ian Poulter, that whole conversation piece when it was him and Lee Westwood, I mean, just getting getting hammered by a reporter from another country. And listen, we all saw President Trump. We all saw what those daily press conferences were like, especially when we were getting one a day during COVID. And we've never seen anything like that. I mean, Trump just, I don't care how you feel about politics. It was entertaining because it was unlike anything we have ever seen before. I mean, this is the president of the United States yelling and shouting at people and calling them fake news. I mean, who would have thought that we would ever see a situation like that? And obviously the media, much of the media stood up, took the punch, and threw one right back at him. And in a lot of circles, people enjoyed it. In a lot of other circles, it was totally unprofessional for the leader of our country to be involved in something like this and for the media to really showcase their agenda. And for the most part in sports, yeah, we've had some heated arguments here and there, but there's never been really a deal where members of the media are challenging a player. And that's what Skip Bayless is doing now. He's challenging a player. So the days of being wrong and opening up about being wrong and checking and having two sources and doing things the right way, they're gone. Okay? Everyone's got a podcast now. Tons of people are banging away from their, mom's basement and can come out with this, come out with that. You get the whole Barstool Sports way about it, which, for the record, a lot of their material I really like. I enjoy. I laugh. Other stuff I think is just stupid. We also have athletes now that are taking it upon themselves to break their own news. Okay? Tiger Woods was one of the founding fathers of that. Well, why should Tiger Woods give a story to someone if he can just go to Twitter and say, my rehabilitation is doing well, or I'm going to need another surgery? So we've seen everything change. But yeah, I'm disappointed by this. I'm not saying you can't be negative and say that a guy should be fired or a guy should be traded, but to dare him and, put him on the show. I'm trying to think. Didn't Colin Cowherd did this to Baker Mayfield a few years ago?
Yeah,
that was one of the first examples. Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it.
And that was civil.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then it just never, nothing good after that happened, so.
Yeah. Did someone say he was on the show? Every song was available. This is more music. I thought it was with, anyway, I thought it had to do with Russell Westbrook. If so, I'll watch it. Yeah, I mean, I'll admit it. I'll dive in, even though I don't like it. All right, that's it. Hackers coming up tomorrow night on after Helmets and Heels, rest of the week, 6 to 8. For Dylan Denmark, I'm Rick Ballew. Enjoy your Monday nights.